For House Bill 11.
House Bill 11 has been re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Thank you, Chairman. Any other re-referrals? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your general file for this afternoon will be, you have a blue sheet on your desk. We just removed House Bill 11, so that's not going to be on general file. So the general file consists of House Bill 14, House Bill 63, House Bill 9, House Bill 51, House Bill 64, House Bill 2, House Bill 3, and House Bill 83. And we have one change. Please move House Bill 63 to the bottom of the list. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole.
Okay, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I just want to repeat what I wrote here in this order, House Bill 14, 9, 51, 64, 2, and 83. And 63.
Okay, Mr. Speaker.
Can we have it again?
I'll do it again. Okay. In the order after I made the adjustments just now, House Bill 14, House Bill 9, House Bill 51, House Bill 64, House Bill 2, House Bill 3, House Bill 83, and House Bill 63.
We got it. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Welcome, Chairman Barlow. Where's that at? It's been moved by the Majority Floor Leader that we move to Committee of the Whole. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Welcome, Chairman Barlow. Yeah.
Committee of the Whole will please come to order. Thank you for the rousing applause for the work that you are about to embark upon. Members of the 64th, the first bill for our consideration is House Bill 14. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Mr. Chairman, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 14, Insurance Code Amendments, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Ayer, Furphy, Lindholm, Lone, Sweeney, and Zwanitzer. Signed, Zwanitzer Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Zwanitzer?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when the Committee of the Whole rise to report it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 14 do pass. There are no standing committee amendments, and I will turn it over to the good representative from District 42.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Blackburn. There's a green light on that for their sailor.
Do not make me come up there, Mr. Speaker.
Proceed, please.
Mr. Speaker, esteemed ladies and gentlemen of the 64th, this is basically a cleanup bill from the Department of Insurance. And I'll walk you through the bill real quick with the changes that we're making. Page 2, line 6, we're adding a definition of third-party administrator. The third-party administrator is a person or organization that possesses or claims or performs administrative services in accordance with a service contract. The rationale behind that addition is currently we define pharmacy benefit managers, managing general agents, but not the third-party administrators. So this has led to confusion, and many applications are submitted with incorrect licenses. 47 states right now license or register the TPAs. And if you'll turn to page 5, we've established a licensing fee of $200 every 2 years. The average fee is $225, ranges from $50 to $500 across the country. Page 6, line 3 through 8, we added the definition of crop insurance to create a limited line of insurance for the sale of crop insurance. Currently, you must have a property test to receive a crop insurance license. Property tests cover things not needed for selling crop insurance, like theft and fire, etc. Most other states have a crop license, and having a limited line for crop insurance makes it easier for agents to receive reciprocal crop licenses in other states. Line 6, or page 6, line 17 through 23, excuse me, we just expand the requirement for updating changes to the contract. Currently, they're only required to update the address, so we're going to require them to put phone number and other information in there. Page 7, line 7, we're going to delete the language producer or surplus lines broker. This language limits the Department of Insurance's ability to contract with third-party vendors for minor functions. Page 8, line 5, we're going to clarify the authority of the Department of Insurance to terminate a Wyoming non-resident producer's license. The DOI has authority to terminate a license if administrative action is taken, but the authority is unclear if a producer voluntarily surrenders in lieu of administrative action. Also, page 8, line 5, and page 9, line 2 through 7, we specify the types of adjusters. We're specifying the adjusters may receive a license in property, casualty, or crop license. Currently, we have a general license, which makes up both property and casualty. We're breaking them into two to match the national standards. Nothing would change for anyone who already has or will have a property casualty license. It'll stay the same. This will make it easier for agents to receive a license from another state on different types of insurance. Page 9, line 12, change the number of days for continuing education from 60 to 15 to let the DOI know. The thoughts behind that is it helps producers for ensuring that they're reported promptly. And if we don't do that, sponsors will wait until Wyoming producers, as they know they have 60 days, you know, in this day and age of electronic things, we can quickly get it done. Page 10, line 1 through 4, we're clarifying the authority to license pre-needs funeral contracts. Pre-needs funeral contract is where you pay now for the funeral services that will occur in the future. The sellers are currently licensed, but the authority is not clearly stated, so we're clearing that up so it is. Page 10, line 6, we're repealing Wyoming Statutes 26.9-211. It is obsolete. The last page, this fiscal note of $35,000, as you can see, that's a revenue increase. We've got money coming back rather than money going out. So if I don't have any questions, I ask for the question.
Thank you, President Blackburn. Is there any discussion on the bill? Any discussion on House Bill 14? Seeing no discussion. All those in favor of Chairman Zwanich's motion that the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it does so with the recommendation that House Bill 14 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 14 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 9. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 9, introduced by Education, Student Ownership and Privacy Rights, an act relating to public education. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 9, Student Ownership and Privacy Acts, writes, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Bovee, Brown, Flitner, Freeman, Hunt, Kinner, Northrop, Paxton, Piperinen. Representative Northrop, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Northrop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when a committee of the whole rises report to do so with the recommendation that House Bill Number 9 do pass, and here with the explanation is the wonderful representative from the water, where the land of the water is sweet.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Freeman, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill comes to us through two committees, the Digital Task Force and the Education Committee. To me, it's a very simple bill. Basically, what it does is it protects students' ownership and privacy rights. If you look on page 2, it says no ownership rights to any electronic writing or other electronic communication created by a student shall be conveyed, transferred, or otherwise affected solely as a result of writing or other communication being stored on an electronic device paid for in whole or part by the university. In other words, what's happening is we have university students that are writing on their computers or storing it in on university servers and that kind of stuff. And basically, just because they store it on the university's equipment, it doesn't become the property of the university. Students expect have an expectation of privacy. If they do work on the equipment, and they have to get in, they only get into the portion that's needed. And finally, what happens is if you have a grad student or something like that, and they're working for the university, an agreement would be made by the university with a clear expectation of what's the university's and what's the student's. And then it becomes duplicative, and the same guarantees are given to community college students. And if there's no questions on the bill, I call for the question.
Any discussion on House Bill 9? Any discussion, House Bill 9? Seeing none, all those in favor of Chairman Northrop's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that House Bill 9 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 9 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 51.
House Bill 51, introduced by Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, Borrowing Authority for Department of Transportation, an act relating to pooled fund investment loans. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 51, Borrowing Authority for Department of Transportation, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Blake, Brown, Court, Crank, Edwards, Eklund, Laux, Piperinen. Representative Eklund, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Eklund?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 64 do pass.
51.
Mr. Chairman, I think we're on House Bill 51, please.
A mistake. 51. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And I further, the bill will be explained by my vice chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Vice Chairman Laux, would you please proceed with the bill?
Mr. Speaker, it's my privilege to explain House Bill 51 to your borrowing authority for Department of Transportation. This is a bill that basically is codifying what we do every budget cycle. For example, the Department of Transportation has jobs going on that require large amounts of money, and they need a borrowing authority to make sure that all payments are made to contractors and so forth. This has never been utilized before. Right now, their borrowing authority is at $100 million. There was quite discussion in the committee concerning why going from $100 to $200 million. I'll explain that. I totally agree with it. The fact is, if you look at their funding, you look at their anticipated spending for fiscal year 2017, it being somewhere around $633 million. All this is a safeguard so that if they get into a situation where they've got cash flow between jobs that have to take place, that they will never leave our business people and our contractors in a situation where they're walking off jobs because they can't. It has not been utilized before. And as I said before, I hope I explained this well, it's usually in our budget session. For example, right now it's in Section 301 from the 17 and 18 budget is enrolled Act 19 for $100 million. We can surely leave it the way it is, but the bottom line is this, we won't have to come back to it every year and deal with it. There were conversations concerning that we don't want to get them into the borrowing mode. Once again, they've never utilized these funds before. And second is, if they do borrow these funds, there will be interest paid. So it's the best interest of the Department of Transportation to not utilize these funds. But we need to give them a mechanism there so that if need be, so we don't stop construction projects in the middle when you have so much money out there going, like I said, $633 million for 2017, and we need to keep, with our short construction season, we need to keep things rolling, and we can't have it held up because we can't carry the cash flow. And I just ask you to recommend a due pass on HB 51.
Thank you, Vice Chairman. Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a couple of questions on this bill. Is there one particular payor who they are worried about collecting in a timely manner, timely enough to pay off their workers, their contractors? So that's my first question. Is there one particular payor? And has anyone in the department considered not spending the money until all revenues are collected rather than spending on the promise of revenues, just turning the spending model upside down? Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Halverson.
Representative Laux.
Please, Mr. Representative Laux.
Mr. Former Speaker, the payor is the federal government. And, I mean, actually, we're in a better situation now than we have been because we do have a five-year bill from the feds, okay? In the past, it's always been somewhat scary because, you know, basically at the whims of the federal government, you never know what's going to happen, okay? Right now, we're good on that. That's the payor. Your second question has to do with turning that upside down. I mean, big construction jobs that are, you know, literally tens of millions of dollars on our highways, there are payments that are made on a regular basis, and nobody's going to, when you have a your crews out there, saying if you're a contractor or a subcontractor, you have your crews out there, they have to get paid. And there's a flow of that money that goes in periodic payments. It's not paid all at the lump sum at the end. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question on lines 6 through 8 there. Occasionally we have the painful experience of having the pooled fund income having a loss. So in that case, what is the interest rate? And maybe we should, I mean, we obviously don't expect to pay them.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Laux, if you'd like to respond to that.
Mr. Speaker, yeah, I don't know if I can answer the question. The interest rate, if I remember it right, was quite high. And so, I mean, I don't think they want to get into that mode. And I don't think I'm answering your question properly, but maybe the chairman of the committee can help me out here.
Go ahead, please, Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The interest rate will be the same as what we're able to receive in the other investment funds. So it'll be according to whatever that is. It isn't a set rate, but it can vary somewhat. They'll have to pay what we can make on our savings account.
Thank you, Chairman Eklund. Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a little bit of trepidation on page 2, lines 1 through 4. I guess last term we referred to them as sideboards, but it basically says when we meet the obligations of the Department of Transportation, which come due prior to the receipt of revenues. And I was, wondering, is there a time period? I mean, are we talking 6 months in advance? Are we talking 1 month? I mean, what's the level of risk we're taking here? Because it sounds like the state's now on the hook, and not that I don't trust the whims of the federal government, but we do have a new administration, and let's say they make good on their promise to cut down the deficit and the debt, and they start not meeting obligations of what we think is promised to us under the transportation bill, and they make a difference of opinion with an appropriation cut. Is the state now on the hook for this money? And basically we're taking the risk as a state. So my question specifically is, what's the time frame we're talking about when all it says it's come due prior to the receipt of revenues? I want to make sure we have some adequate protections that it's not, you know, 9 months in advance, say, and we just hope the money will come back in the back end, that it's, if you could give me some more information on how quickly the turnaround is going to be.
Vice Chairman, please proceed.
Mr. Chair, I'll try on that. I want to emphasize that this is more of maintaining cash flow. The money is there from the feds. We have a five-year transportation bill that is funded, okay? So this just comes down to, if they get in the situation, which they've never had to exercise before, where you've got so many projects going on and the $630 million that we'll be expending, that they don't want to hold up projects nor keep subcontractors or contractors. Their payments are scheduled, and the money is there. And as far as the time frame, I'd say it'd be short time, but that's my guess.
Thank you. Representative Lone.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just one quick question. If we had this at $100 million before and it's never been used, why do we need to increase it to $200 million? Thank you very much.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We recently, excuse me, hairball. We recently heard from...
I can help you.
yeah. We recently heard from the department that oversees these funds, and we just want to make sure that everybody understands on the highway bill. The highway bill has been approved, but the funds are not appropriated. That's done on an annual basis, and that's one of the cautions that they shared with us. But they told our committee that they've never used these funds because before the project start, the funding from the feds is approved for that particular funding, and then they set a time frame for when those funds will come in, and they have bumped up close to that on a number of situations where they thought that they were going to have to exercise that funding authority, but the money came in, and the intent of this is to just make sure that we're meeting our obligations to the contractors performing the work out on the ground. But my understanding, for the individual projects assigned, that those federal funds have been appropriated before we start, and that those funds will come in. It's just a timing issue.
Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to go back to the comment made by the representative from House District 7 here in the capital city. She made a valid point, very good point. On page 2, when we look at the interest rate on that, so some of the pooled income accounts or the pooled accounts have some potential to have a negative return. So we use the term interest on this, And so I'm wondering, for our transportation committee, we should look at maybe an amendment that would say that interest rate, but no event less than, say, 2% or something along those lines. And I'm just curious if you had that particular discussion in the committee.
Thank you, Chairman Greer. Vice Chairman Lux.
To the past speaker, no, we did not, and that is a good point to bring out. I agree with the statement that was made by the good chairman. And there was, Mr. Speaker, may I go on?
Please.
There was a previous question that was addressing the $100 to $200 million authority, and that was discussed at length in the committee, and there was obviously different opinions of that. All I did and felt comfortable with is I looked at their funding and their revenues and their expenditures, and $200 million just really is not aligned with the type of money they spend. Just so we are covered, so we don't get in a situation where we're known for not being able to keep our contractors on the job site in lieu of pay. So.
Thank you, Vice Chair. Chairman Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill is important. A second reading amendment does sound like it's in order here, and we'll work on that. I would appreciate you passing it on through so that we can get to that part of the deal. Thank you.
Any further discussion on the bill? Any further discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor of Chairman Eklund's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 51 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
House Bill 51 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 64. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 64, introduced by Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs. Move over requirement, an act relating to the regulation of traffic on highways. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 64, move over requirement, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Blake, Brown, Court, Crank, Edwards, Eklund, Laux, Piperinen. Representative Eklund, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Eklund?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it will do so with recommendation that Bill number 64 do pass, and I turn the explanation of the bill over to our good representative from the flowing water that is green.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Blake, please proceed to explanation of the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I bring you from Joint Transportation Committee, House Bill 64. On Friday, you passed out a flyer, may or may not still have it, but in 2001, the move over legislation was passed. That included law enforcement, EMS, and fire. 2015, we added tow trucks. Now we are going to add municipal, county, public service corporation, highway construction, highway maintenance. Vehicle is making use of any visual signals provided for in statutes or any parked vehicle is making use of flashing lights as provided. And that's on page 1, lines 14, 15 of the bill, page 2, 1 through 3. The bill would extend this safety margin to all vehicles parked on the side of the roadway, which utilize the appropriate flashing lights. It directs drivers when approaching any parked vehicle making use of the appropriate sighted flashing lights to merge into the farthest lane from the emergency vehicle when driving on an interstate highway or other highway with two or more lanes. When approaching a vehicle parked on the shoulder of a two-lane road, which is making use of the appropriate sighted lights, drivers are expected to slow to a speed that is 20 miles per hour less than the posted speed. It appears all states have move-over laws, which include emergency vehicles such as law enforcement, EMS, and fire response vehicles, and most also include highway maintenance, construction vehicles, as well as public utility, telecommunication carriers, and vehicles owned by corporative associations. I think it's a good bill. It is kind of common sense, but sometimes you have to legislate common sense. And I would ask everyone to support this bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Staff, any questions?
Thank you, Representative Blake. Any discussion on the bill? Thank you. From the northeast corner, House District 1, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was curious if the bringer of the bill could please define public service corporations, what types of entities those are.
Representative Blake, if you'd like to respond. Representative Brown, if you would like to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This question was actually raised by a few other people after this bill made it out of committee as well. And after further review with the attorneys and whatnot, that basically would include anything that would fall under line. Public Service Corporation would include County Weed and Pest, Public Utilities, any of those people. And what we found is underneath Statute 31-5-928 thoroughly defines what is it's going to be with the white and amber lights that are going to be displayed underneath that. To answer the question more directly, there is no strict definition underneath statute right now of what a public service corporation is. We are just relying strictly on the interpretation of that from the attorneys.
Thank you, Representative Brown. Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Curious what the penalty is for not doing this. And I didn't see that in there, and I haven't looked it up in the statute. So I wonder if someone could help me figure that out. Thanks.
Representative Edwards.
Mr. Chairman, I was one of them that brought this out of committee. And after some time of thinking about it, I'm going to oppose it. It doesn't have it on here, but the amount of money that it was going to cost to implement this is $140,000 to $175,000. If they would use common sense, it would be one thing, but they will go immediately to changing out all the signs that are in the state. They have those that you see along the interstate. We get that money from, as they call it, free money from the federal government. And as I call them, the texting strips that they put along the road so you can text in the meantime, I don't think they necessarily always spend our money the way we should. So I think the idea is good, and I think everybody should move over. But I think the YDOT needs to get a grip on how they spend their money. Thank you.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Quick question for the committee that considered this. I'm looking at it, and I recall being in several of the larger communities around the state, and we see these folks, and they're in a little three-wheel rig, and they're out checking parking meters, and they're checking your parking stickers, and they turn on their flashing lights, and they stop. And this says a two-way road. Well, a lot of those, the speed limit's already posted at 20 miles an hour, so that means I stop and wait for them to get done. Or what? Was there any discussion along those lines?
Representative Zwanitzer.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to add on to that one. Page 3, line 2, you're basically in before then, we're adding 31-5-923. And that basically says any vehicle may be equipped with large hazard lights that can alert traffic. And it doesn't really give a restriction. It even has to be a government. So, I mean, when I read that section of law, if I want to go put warning lamps on my vehicle and I qualify, and then we're allowing them to have flashing lights. So I think we need to, on a second reading or third reading, tighten some of this language up on which entities really can have these and we need to pull over, and which probably shouldn't have this availability. because I think 31.5.923 opens it up to just about everybody who wants to, you know, be a flasher.
That'll be out of order the next time.
May I answer that?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Laux.
Mr. Chairman, last flasher over there, I believe you're correct. When I looked at this, because it was brought up in the committee, 31.5.923 basically says, and where I wanted to go was, okay, this isn't special just for emergency vehicles. If I'm wrecked on the side of the road and I got my flashers on, I want the same courtesy and common sense as anybody. I want somebody to slow down for me or go in the other lane. And that's what 31.5.923 says, yes. So it isn't just for vehicles that have the right type of flashers. It's for anybody that's pulled over, that the courtesy is there, that we try to make the road safer, and you pull over, you slow down. So it covers everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Laux. Representative Stan Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to respond to the good representative talk about the funding. That is not state dollars at all. I wanted to remind him of that. And it is money that's appropriated from the Federal Highway Administration already. And they've assured us, and you know when an agency assures you that that's the way it always is, that they're probably not going to hit that level anyways. So they will do a lot of teaching around the state about the new law. And it's already, I want to remind you, it's already money that the Federal Highway Administration has given the state of Wyoming for safety signs. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Please vote aye.
Any further discussion on this bill? Any further? Chairman Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There was a little bit more discussion on tightening the bill up. The meter-made flashers did not come to mind while we were doing it. We were talking about everybody. We don't have to put emergency flashers on most of our vehicles now. They have them. So you're pulled over fixing a flat tire. This does kind of legislate some common sense, but we have several instances in which we need to do it. The volunteer firemen are not covered without this law. You'd think they would be, and there's a few other ones. And they respond to emergencies on the highway system throughout the state. We might come with a second reading amendment that will tighten up and redefine this and keep the meter maids from slowing up the traffic.
Thank you, Chairman. Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one more thought. On that federal highway money, there is money set aside just for signage. So we're not robbing money to fill potholes. Some of this money set aside from the Federal Highway Administration is just for signage, safety things. So we're not taking money away from the roads in this bill. Thank you. Please.
Any further discussion? Can we move on from the move over? Any further discussion? All right. Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Eklund's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it does so with the recommendation that House Bill 64 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
House Bill 64 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 2. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2, introduced by Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, Storage Tanks, an act relating to storage tanks. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 2, Storage Tanks, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Byrd, Crank, Ayer, Gray, Greer, Henderson, Lindholm, Laux. Noes, Representative Claussen. Signed, Representative Greer, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Greer?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so the recommendation that House Bill number 2 do pass, and I'll turn the explanation of the bill over to the distinguished gentleman from House District 19.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Ayer, thank you. First time to the microphone. Welcome. Please explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill number 2 is a result of a collaborative effort during the interim period between the department, the Joint Interim Corporations Committee, and the Petroleum Marketers Associations. And it's kind of got a long history that I'll give you just a little bit of background on. This is to help us comply with the Energy Policy Act under EPA, and it deals with this underground storage tank. In 1990, because of the financial burden that was created by the potential leaks or releases from underground storage tanks, the legislature established a corrective action account and a financial responsibilities account. And these accounts are funded by a 1 cent per gallon tax on all diesel and gasoline fuel sold in the state. Wyoming has not been granted official primacy over regulation of these underground tanks, but have been operating with de facto jurisdiction for the past several years. And in even though the Energy Policy Act was enacted in 2005, in 2015, EPA finally got around to finalizing the rules, and this bill will actually help the state come in compliance with the EPA regulations. So with that brief introduction and background, I'll go through the bill and explain each section. There are two new articles added to the bill. On page 2, section 35-11-1431 is added, providing for rulemaking authority for the department to prescribe some licensing requirements for installers, anyone who installs, modifies, or tests an underground tank. And then there are Class A, B, and C operators licenses for those who operate and own underground storage tanks. 3511-1432 on page 3 provides for some rulemaking regarding abandoned or temporary out-of-use storage tanks, and that they must be closed and taken out of service completely after 12 months. Going over to page 4, line 8 just updates the reference in the statute to include the two new sections or articles that we'll be adding by this bill. Down on line 17 and 18 on page 4, for some time this program has been administered under the Solid and Hazard Waste Division of the Department rather than the Water Quality Division. And that will just bring into conformance with what they've actually been doing. On page 5, line 4 through 7, defines in the case of a site that's been permanently closed, any person who owns the site now is included. But at the bottom of the page, line 21 and 22, excludes intrastate pipeline facilities that are regulated under the USC Chapter 49 code. And then over on, extends over onto page 6. Line 8 through 10 excludes any spill in a secondary containment that is only used temporarily and will be drained expeditiously. Again, on page, on line 13 there, we just update the reference to the statute. On page 7, required proof of financial assurance for underground tanks if the owner of the above ground storage tank desires, on line 5 through 7. Above ground storage tanks have not been included, but they have been participating in the contributions to the fund, and this will allow them to draw on the two funds if they have a spill. Page 7, line 16 and 17 refer to the standard fees that are paid annually by owners of underground storage tanks, and if those fees aren't paid, then they will have be assessed a late fee in that section. Page 8, there is created an environmental pollution financial responsibility account and is intended to provide financial assurance to the coverage required by federal law for underground storage tanks and establish financial assurance coverage for above ground storage tanks. So there again, the above ground storage tanks would be included. Line 16 through 19 on page 8, talks about in the case of a double-walled pipe, if the single-wall underground piping is connected to an underground storage tank and it fails due to corrosion or fail and has been recalled by the manufacturer, if part of that pipe fails, then the entire run should be replaced or would be replaced and would be covered by the cost of this from those funds. Any double-walled pipe that has interstitial monitoring, which is a monitor between the two levels of pipe, anytime moisture is detected in those, it sounds an alarm. If that's installed, it will be monitored for the lifetime of the tank or the piping. That's on page 9, section 7 and 6. And then the last section on lines 12 through 15 of page 9 indicates that if pump sensors are used, then they should be considered to so that they will require a shutoff of the product in the event of a release. With that, I'll entertain questions.
Thank you very much. Is there any discussion on the bill? Any discussion on House Bill 2? Sorry. Please.
Mr. Chairman, proceed. I just had a quick question. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I understand that the gist of the bill is so that it would conform with federal law. My question, was there any testimony as to how much burden will be added to the operators of the businesses or if there was any testimony toward that? Thank you.
Thank you. Chairman Greer.
I'll just thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll take that question just real quick. As a matter of fact, this will be a huge benefit for our operators. As you know, without the corrective action account, we probably would not have retail gasoline or fuel distributors in the state of Wyoming. The financial assurances are way too much. So we have that account in place to allow our retailers to be able to function. One of the components of this bill, as was mentioned by the presenter, is we are now allowing those retailers with above-ground storage tanks to opt into the program. The other component of this that goes directly to your question is that we will now have direct primacy, meaning that the ABC licensed operators and then the installers, they're doing that right now, but they're doing that under EPA, and we will have the state government will be doing that, and as typically is the case, they'll be doing it much more efficiently and quicker with less burden upon the people of the state.
Thank you, Chairman Greer. Representative Lone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This question is also for the chairman from the committee. I just wanted to make sure that this excessive length of piping that's monitored doesn't refer to all piping within the state, or is it just connected to storage tanks? Because I do know we have interstate commerce with regards to piping, and I was concerned if we were affecting that as well. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. I see Representative Larson has the hairball. Please respond to the question.
I put it in the drawer, Mr. Chair. Chairman, this refers to intrastate piping connections, not interstate, and it refers for those facilities that are connecting from the tanks to the pump, and that's been worked out, and I think that's reference you're looking for.
Thank you for the update. Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me address that question. This definition for the double-walled interstitial pipe replacement comes from a federal requirement that requires you that if you have any breach that you're supposed to replace 50% of that. Logic and engineering would dictate that if you have problems with a section of pipe, you don't go in and dig up part of the trench and just replace part of it. You dig up the whole section and replace all of it. So basically what we're doing is one hole, one piece of work, so that the whole entire problem is addressed. And this is localized to the storage tank area. It does not go interstate.
Any further discussion on House Bill 2? Any further discussion? Seeing none, all of those in favor of Chairman Greer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it does so with the recommendation that House Bill 2 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 2 has passed Committee of the Whole. All right, we have a privilege of the floor. Representative Wilson, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Friends, in case you decide that you might want to do something more exciting than read bills between now and dinner, I want to draw your attention to something in your inbox. It says you are invited. And what this is a community youth program. It's being held at Second Baptist Church in honor of Martin Luther King Day. And there are to be recitations, skits, praise dancing, stomping, and singing. And I have not gone before myself, but my husband went last year, and he said it was really fun and a good time. Unfortunately, I will be in appropriations, so I can't lead the way. But any of you that want to go for an hour, hour and a half of something much more lively than here, I think you would have a good time. So please consider it.
Thank you, Representative. And I've heard being in appropriations is a stomping. Never mind. Sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, the next bill for our consideration is House Bill 3. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 3, introduced by Minerals, Business, and Economic Development. Cease and transfer priority list. An act relating to prioritization of municipal solid waste facilities. Cease and transfer projects. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 3, Cease and Transfer Priority List, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Representatives Byrd, Crank, Ayer, Gray, Greer, Henderson, Lindholm, Laux. Noes, Representative Claussen. Signed, Representative Greer, Chairman.
Thank you, Reading Clerk. You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Greer?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises reported, do so with the recommendation that House Bill Number 3 do pass. I move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, and I'll handle, hopefully dispense with that amendment. So if you'll look on page 4 of the bill, this will just take a moment to go through this amendment. We have a correction, and what we've done clear down on number 30 on the priority list is we'll be striking Clermont, which happens to be my hometown, and inserting Lusk. Also, Clermont was on that list as a closure, thus the C, and Lusk will be inserted into that area of the priority with a T for a transfer station. The reason for the amendment is that Clermont has received its funding and its grant, and I did speak last night personally with their clerk to verify that. So with that in mind, I would ask for the chair to pass the motion on.
Any discussion on standing committee amendment number one? Seeing none, all those are in favor of adoption of standing committee number one for House Bill 3, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Standing committee amendment number one to House Bill 3 has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Chairman Greer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I will turn over the explanation of House Bill 3 to the fine gentleman from House District 41.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Henderson, fire away.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the annual review and update of the cease and transfer priority list. There is a prioritized list of prioritization of municipal solid waste facilities, cease and transfer projects, a prioritized list of projects establishing a maximum amount to be expended on the projects, and granting the DEQ, the Department of DEQ, limited discretionary authority to modify the prioritized list. If you please turn to page 2, you can see there between lines 2 and 12 definitions of maximum amount, and as was said before, the C, which is a closure project, and T, transfer project. The rest of that page is talking about conforming language. And page 3, all of page 3, 4, and the top part of page 5 are the projects in descending order. And then below that, I'd like to point out the department to DEQ may modify the authorized funds and order of the projects listed in the prioritized list contained in this bill. And with regard to any of the following reasons: to optimize efficiency based on project readiness, based on compliance with grant or loan qualifications or conditions, and to address emergency or immediate environment concerns. The thing that I would invite your attention to is the fiscal note. Of particular interest is where it's talking about the modification of costs associated with the facility results in an increase of $400,000 to the total estimated project costs. The current project cost estimates for the 32 facilities in the list are $11,688,000 for transfer projects and $39,000,000 and change there, $37,800 for closure projects, a total remaining program cost of $50.73 million. Would close with a very useful summary that I received from the department about the chronology of this process in these projects. And I would just summarize by saying, in October of 2016, DEQ updated the priority list, presented it. Updated list has a total of 32 facilities for an estimated total project cost of, as I say, $50.7273 million. 10 transfer at a little over $12 million, 22 closure at about $38,637,000. And then it goes on to say, as of January 2017, I lost my place. Here it is. As of January 2017, a minimum of 19 projects have been funded, 9 transfer stations, and 10 landfill closures. Since the project's inception, the legislature has provided a total of $43.9 million in funding for the program implementation, $33.4 million for grants, $10.5 million approximately for loans. In total, the State Loan and Investment Board has awarded $32.2 million for 19 projects. As of January 2017, the project account balance is $11,700,000 and change, with $5.3 million in grants and $6.4 million approximately in loans. So with that, I would stand for questions.
Thank you. Representative Henderson, I have a question up here. Chairman Madden, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wonder if somebody could update me in the means of finance of this thing. I guess what I'm asking, the SLID board is issuing these grants and issuing these loans from some source of funds, and I can't remember if that's mineral royalties or if it's some back appropriation that we have made and the money just hasn't been spent yet. I see there's 12,000 or 12 million plus 5 million plus 6 million in loans available. Is that number floating around? Does it change because we keep adding funding to it, or how? I guess I want to know how far down the list they intend to go with that remaining money in 2017, going back to your priority index list. And I just need some background on that funding and where it comes from and how, if it regenerates itself or if it has to be a new appropriation every year.
Thank you, Chairman Madden. Chairman Greer.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman and Chairman Madden, good questions. If you'll recall, a little history on this is we brought the remediation. So we had two bills that came through dealing with our landfill issues in the state of Wyoming. And we had the remediation legislation for our leaking landfills that were causing concern around a lot of those were water wells and so forth around the state. The companion bill that came forward was a cease and transfer to help typically with our smaller communities to close their landfills and go to a transfer station and a general push into regionalization. As a result, and I may get this number wrong, but we put around $45 million back when we had $45 million. And you'll find it on your goldenrod on the very last page at the very bottom. It's a municipal solid waste landfill remediation account. So that account was set up, and when the legislation went through, there was some concern that we were going to give the department another checkbook. And thus the amendments came forward that we would do this prioritization, that it would go through your minerals committee each year and be vetted. So with that being said, the funds in this account, and when you look at your goldenrod, are there for the remediation program. And with an appropriation, with the action of our JAC, we will take money from that account and move it over to the CESA transfer account. So you'll see on there that minus $17 million when you look at it. That was the movement of dollars that was recommended by the department in the last budget over to the cease and transfer account. My memory may get a little weak on this, but that was what they were looking forward to 3 or 4 years at that point in time, so 2 or so more years of what was really queued up and what needed to be addressed. So that's a little bit of the background. To answer your question, the answer is yes. It requires an appropriation if we're to go much further down the list. As the presenter of the bill had stated, there's about $6 million available for loans, another $5 million for grants. They'll work down that list as they can. Keeping in mind, sometimes they'll drop quite a ways down the list because it depends upon who's applying for the funds, who's actually ready to make that move to close their landfill or to put in a transfer station. So hopefully I answered all those questions.
Thank you, Chairman Greer. Any further discussion on House Bill 3? Any further discussion?
Question. I'd like to call for the question.
Thank you. All those in favor of Chairman Greer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that House Bill 3 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 3 has passed Committee of the Whole. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to give just a brief reminder about referring to government entities and agencies by their specific name. We've had several references to several agencies that have to do with things outdoors and things of conveyance, etc. I know it sometimes it's hard to be creative to come up with a name for some agency, but we really do try to keep this where we're not being so specific about agency names or certainly individuals. We don't, but even agency names. So let's be just cognizant of that. So the next bill for our consideration is House Bill 83. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 83, introduced by Labor, Health, and Social Services. Healthcare facility licensing, bed count limit exception. An act relating to healthcare licensing and operations. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 83, Healthcare Facility Licensing Bed Count Limit Exception, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Barlow, Clem, Dayton, Garou, Hallinan, Halverson, Lone, McGuire, Sweeney. Signed, Representative Barlow, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Vice Chairman Halverson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 83 do pass. And I will turn the explanation of the bill over to the fine representative from District 12.
Thank you, Vice Chairman Halverson. Representative Loam, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Esteemed colleagues of the 64th Legislature, before you have a bill number 83. It's a health care bill, and this is a cleanup bill that we're bringing before you. In a previous legislative session, we accidentally exempted the state from regulation. And this bill before you is to exempt them from that exemption, basically putting us back into regulation as we should be. Standing by for any questions if anybody has them.
Is there any discussion on House Bill 83? Any discussion on House Bill 83? Seeing none. Although, Representative Winters.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not trying to belay the point. But I went and copied the statute B and C just so I could see. I want to know what the original purpose of 352906 was, just so that I can understand what's going on here just a little bit more, if you don't mind.
Thank you. And now we turn to the able Representative Larson to explain the error that we are fixing. Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and your State Facility Task Force Committee apologizes for this gross error. Last year, as we were working on the state health facility, going through the and getting ready for the Level 3 design, we passed legislation. As you recall, the one of the efforts that we're making, that we're working on right now, the state health facility, is that there will be some skilled nursing facilities built in Lander. And whenever you build a new skilled nurse facility in the state, if you're in the private sector, you have to determine what the bed capacity around the area is, and it's currently running around 80% in various areas of the state. But because of the hard-to-place people that will be going into these and the state's building them, we asked for an exemption from that bed count. Well, when we went in to this 406 ruling, we inadvertently not only excused us from that bed count, but exempted us from having to go under healthcare licensing and reviews for the plans and all the things when we do in construction. And we found that out when we came before that department within the Department of Health to review that, and they said, well, you're exempted from that. They didn't like it. We didn't like it. We've been complying with it and are correcting our mistake at this time. So that's where the error is. We just inadvertently exempted us from having to comply with the licensure requirements and inspection and plan reviews that the health facilities require. So, again, we apologize.
Any further discussion on House Bill 83? Any further discussion? Seeing Representative Winters,
thank you,
please
Mr.
proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just so what it looks like B and C, the intention of B and C, it looks like it's trying to make sure that the state is not competing directly with local nursing care facilities and or nursing care hospitals. And so now we're saying, I'm just wondering if I'm getting this right, it is okay for us to compete with private entities. I guess I'm just trying to understand that just a little bit better. Thank you, sir.
Representative Larson.
The end of the day, the answer to that is no, we're not competing. And with the private sector, the the populations that will be occupying these skilled nursing facilities are those that have been in the state hospital and are being requested for facilities to live in by people in the state or providers in the state, because these populations are hard to place. Mental illness with aggressive actions, places that really need to have to be more secure than your traditional skilled nursing facilities that we refer to as long-term care facilities. It's part of the safety net position that the state's taken to hold these people if there's no other facility that can take them.
Please proceed, Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What you're not seeing on this, if we do nothing with this bill, if we decide not to pass it, then these health facilities are still going to be exempt. The problem comes in, if you look there at the bottom of page 1, line 16, where it says subsection B and C, that's what we're trying to exempt them from. In particular, we want to unexempt them from subsection A. And subsection A has to do with the licensing, with the inspection, if you will, of these facilities. So we still want these facilities to be inspected, and we want the stamp of approval on these facilities. We just want to have them exempt from B and C. So if we do nothing, they're going to be exempt from all of it. If we pass this, they're going to have to go and they're going to have to be inspected, and we're going to have to do all that. So vote aye on this.
Any further discussion on the bill? Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of Vice Chairman Halverson's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 83 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 83 has passed Committee of the Whole. Well done, ladies and gentlemen. I think I would like to take a personal privilege at this time. Thank you for all the advice that I've received in my time in the chair. I'm especially thankful to the good speaker for this memento of that last wrestling, probably defeat I had in Natrona County so many years ago. Thank you for that reminder, Mr. Speaker. Majority Floor Leader, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Come up here and adopt it.
The reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. Speaker, our Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, beg leave to report as follows. House Bill 14, recommended do pass. House Bill 9, recommended do pass. House Bill 51, recommended do pass. House Bill 64, recommended do pass. House Bill 2, recommended do pass. House Bill 3, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 83, recommended do pass. Signed, Representative Barlow, Chairman.
Mr. Speaker, I move adoption of the Committee of the Whole report. All you have heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Chairman Barlow. Okay, we're at that order of business of adoption of permanent rules. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House rules and the joint rules previously adopted as the temporary rules of the House of Representatives of the 63rd Legislature be adopted as the permanent rules of the House of Representatives of the 64th Legislature.
You have heard the motion. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Aye. Barlow.
Aye.
Aye. Biteman. Aye. Blackburn.
Aye.
Aye. Blake.
Aye.
Aye. Bovee.
Aye.
Aye. Brown.
Aye.
Aye. Burkhart.
Aye.
Aye. Byrd.
Aye.
Aye. Clausen. Excused. Clem.
Aye.
Aye. Connolly.
Aye.
Aye. Court.
Aye.
Aye. Crank.
Aye.
Aye. Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Garou.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Aye. Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Ponnell.
Aye.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Representative Hallinan? Oh, okay. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused.
Okay. Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 5, Banking Revisions. Ayes 27, noes 2, excused 1. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 108. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 7, Bank Service Corporations. Ayes 29, excused 1. Helen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 109. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file number 13, manufactured alcoholic beverages. Ayes 27. Excused 1. Conflict 2. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 110. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file 26, game and fish licenses, confidentiality. Ayes 29, excused 1. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 111. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file 27, State Archives Amendments. Ayes 24, noes 5, excused 1. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 112. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file 39, military department composition. Ayes 29, excused 1. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 113. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file number 40, military department record keeping. Ayes 29, excused 1. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Joint Resolution 2, Balanced Budget Amendment Resolution, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Beitman, Kirkbride, Olson, Pownell, Winters. Noes, Representative Baker, Jennings, Pelkey, Salazar. Signed, Representative Kirkbride, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 30, State Parks and Site Fees, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Representatives Allen, Clem, Flitner, Freeman, Giroux, Haley, Halverson, McGuire, Steinmetz. Signed, Representative Allen, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 33, Non-Resident Motorboats Gasoline Tax Distribution, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Allen, Clem, Flitner, Freeman, Giroux, Haley, Halverson, McGuire, Steinmetz. Signed, Representative Allen, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 12, Rules and Procedures, to whom was referred House Bill 35, Sponsorship of Legislation, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Larson, Madden, Miller, Nicholas, Northrop, Pelkey, Summers, Walters, Wilson. Signed, Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 12, Rules and Procedures, to whom was referred House Bill 36, Obsolete Laws, which respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Larson, Madden, Miller, Nicholas, Northrop, Helke, Summers, Walters, Wilson. Signed, Representative Harshman, Chairman.
Do we have any re-referrals? Chairman Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Apparently, we're overachievers. I've already referred these, but they hadn't been read in yet. So now at this time, I'd like to re-refer House Bill 30 and 33. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To Appropriations, Committee Number 2.
Thank you. House Bill 30 and 33 are re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Thank you for your diligence, Chairman Allen. Any other announcements? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, your general file tomorrow will be House Bill 63, House Joint Resolution 2, House Bill 35, House Bill 36, and any other bills that may return from committee between now and 10 a.m. tomorrow. And Mr. Speaker, with that, I move that the House adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow, Tuesday, January 17th, 2017.
Committee announcements. Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 10 will meet 10 minutes upon adjournment in H-37 to consider House Bill 112, EMS Licensure Interstate Compact.
Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Committee number 1, Judiciary, is taking its show on the road twice in the next several hours. 10 minutes upon adjournment, we'll be up in Senate 18 to continue our discussion of House Joint Resolution 3, Single Subject Amendment Resolution, and House Bill 50, Limits on the Delegate Constitutional Amendment Conventions. And then tomorrow morning, when we meet at 8 a.m., we will be in the big room, Jonah Room L54, for a discussion on House Bill 94, Criminal Justice Reform.
Thank you, Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 7, Corporations, will meet tomorrow at lunch to hear two bills in L51. First up is House Bill 80, Transportation Network Companies, also known as the Uber Bill. And we'll also hear House Bill 92, Payment of Wages Upon Termination.
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Appropriations House Committee will meet on adjournment. We're now back in House Room, House 36, as opposed to the regular Appropriations Room. And we'll be hearing House Bill 45, 59, 79, and 55, and also re-referred bills we'll probably do first, and that's House Bill 31 and House Bill 26. That's on adjournment. Tomorrow at 8 o'clock, we'll continue with the Joint Appropriations Committee for callbacks, and also at noon for callbacks. And then on adjournment tomorrow, we will have re-referrals for House Bill 8, 30, and 33, and then also hear House Bill 109, Volunteer Pensions, and House Bill 13, Investment of Public Funds.
Okay, Chairman Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 8, Transportation, again, will meet tomorrow upon adjournment. We've changed the bill. So study House Bill 52 and House Bill 78.
Vice Chair Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 5, Agriculture, will be meeting jointly with the Senate tomorrow morning at 7:30 a.m. in L51, the new 302, to hear updates from the Forest Service and the State Forestry Division. So anyone who is here at 7:30 who's not busy in committee meetings, everyone's invited. It's some good informational stuff, especially for freshman legislators. So thank you.
Any other announcements? Chairman Northrop.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Your committee number four, education, will meet upon adjournment in House 38. We're going to hear House Bill 27, 39, and 40, which are respectively school facility property insurance. Can you believe it? Education resident tuition reimbursement and education accountability. Thank you.
Thank you. Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number nine, minerals, business, and economic development, will meet on Wednesday. Just a heads up, we'll be meeting on Wednesday. We'll hear House Bill 70, Occupational Safety, Health, Administration Actions first. Then we'll take up microbrewery permits. That's House Bill 96. Also, just get on your calendar on adjournment on the 19th. We'll have a joint meeting with the Ag Committee for some information regarding water quality. So just giving you a heads up. Thank you.
Any other announcements? You've heard the majority floor leader's motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Motion carries. The House is adjourned until tomorrow, Tuesday, January 17th, 2017 at 10 a.m.